Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 9, entitled Answers, by citing the Lord's version, text number 8.
Diyam.
Pertaining to demigods in the higher planets.
Sahasra.
1,000.
1,000.
Abdam.
Years.
Amoga.
Amoga.
Spotless.
Spotless.
Without a tinge of impurity.
Without a tinge of impurity.
Darshanaha.
Darshanaha.
One who has such a vision of life.
One who has such a vision of life.
Jita.
Jita.
Controlled.
Controlled.
Anila,
Anila,
life,
life.
Atma,
Atma,
mind,
mind.
Vijita,
Vijita,
controlled over,
controlled over.
Ubaya,
Ubaya,
both,
both.
Indriya,
Indriya,
one of the such senses,
one who has such senses.
Atapyata,
Atapyata,
executed penance,
executed penance.
Sma,
ah,
in the past.
In the past.
Akila,
Akila,
or.
Or.
Loka,
Loka,
planet.
Planet.
Tapanam,
Tapanam,
enlightening.
Enlightening.
Tapaha,
Tapaha,
penance.
Penance.
Tapiyan,
Tapiyan,
extremely hard penance.
Extremely hard penance.
Tapatam,
Tapatam,
of all the executors of penance.
Of all the executors of penances.
Samahitaha.
Samahitaha.
Thus situated.
Thus situated.
Translation. Lord Brahma underwent penances for 1,000 years by the calculations of the demigods. He heard this transcendental vibration from the sky, and he accepted it as divine. Thus he controlled his mind and senses, and the penances he executed were a great lesson for the living entities. Thus he's known as the greatest of all ascetics. Purport. Lord Brahma heard the occult sound tapa, but he did not see the person who vibrated the sound, and still he accepted the instruction as beneficial for him, and then he engaged himself in meditation for 1,000 celestial years. One celestial year is equal to 6 times 30 times 12 times 1,000 of our years. His acceptance of the sound was due to his pure vision of the absolute nature of the Lord. And due to his correct vision, he made no distinction between the Lord and the Lord's instruction. There is no difference between the Lord and sound vibration coming from him, even though he's not personally present. The best way of understanding is to accept such divine instruction. And Brahma, the primal spiritual master of everyone, is the living example of this process of receiving transcendental knowledge. The potency of transcendental sound is never minimized because the vibrator is apparently absent. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or any revealed scripture in the world is never to be accepted as an ordinary mundane sound without transcendental potency. One has to receive the transcendental sound from the right source, accept it as a reality and prosecute the direction without hesitation. The secret of success is to receive the sound from the right source of a bona fide spiritual master. Mundane manufactured sound has no potency, and as such, seemingly transcendental sound received from an authorized person also has no potency. One should be qualified enough to discern such transcendental potency, and either by discriminating or by fortunate chance, if one is able to receive the transcendental sound from the bona fide spiritual master, his path of liberation is guaranteed. The disciple, however, must be ready to execute the order of the bona fide spiritual master, as Lord Brahma executed the instruction of his spiritual master, the Lord himself. Following the order of the bona fide spiritual master, the only duty of the disciple, and this completely faithful execution of the order of the bona fide spiritual master is the secret of success. Lord Brahma controlled his two grades of senses by means of sense perception and sense organs, because he had to engage such senses in the execution of the order of the Lord. Therefore, controlling the senses means engaging them in the transcendental service of the Lord. The Lord's order descends into the cyclic succession through the bona fide spiritual master, and thus execution of the order of the bona fide spiritual master is factual control of the senses. So is execution of penance in full faith and sincerity made Brahmanji so powerful that he became the creator of the universe. And because he was able to attain such power, he is called the best among all the tapasvis. Om Jati Mandasya Gendra Slakya Sakshuni Dunyanta Smai Sri Guru Vinama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare
Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare. So a celestial year is equal to 6 times 30 times 12 times 1,000. So basically we're looking here at 180 times 12. You've calculated already while you were sitting there in the back. Such a bunya. Thank you. So that's it. And that's 1 year. So it is very long. Just that we get a better perspective on the time duration that is given. Srila Prabhupada is focusing. He is focusing on Lord Brahma following the order of the spiritual master. And he is speaking about hearing from a bona fide spiritual master. He also speaks about a disciplic succession. And obviously, the disciplic succession is included when we say the bona fide spiritual master. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the opening words of the Chaitanya Charitamrita are Vande Gurun. Vande Gurun is then, I offer my obeisances unto the spiritual masters. And Srila Prabhupada comments that that particularly is referring to the disciplic succession to the previous acharyas. He also explains, of course, that it includes Diksha Guru, Siksha Guru, and the Siksha Guru. The category of Siksha Guru can be further divided into also the Chaitanya Guru, the Lord acting as the Siksha Guru within the heart, the spiritual master acting as an instructing spiritual master himself externally, and then the Varna Padarshak, the one who shows the path. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about Guru, Tattva, but stresses the importance of the disciplic succession. Srila Prabhupada said that if we are listening or hearing the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that then we are directly associating with Srila Rupa Goswami. Obviously, based on the principle that there is no difference between Bapu and Vani, between the personal form and the instruction, just as Prabhupada said in a dedication to the Bhagavatam that he lives forever in his instruction and the follower lives with him. So in this way we understand that when we speak about spiritual master, it goes far beyond our own spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada in Bombay, in a famous Vyasa Puja address, was speaking about the principle of Guru Tattva and explaining that Guru is one, that actually there is no distinction between one Guru and another Guru, because they are all manifestations of the same Guru Tattva, of the same truth, because there cannot be two truths. Therefore, there is only one group, one truth. And therefore Krishna is the original spiritual master. And those who are repeating the message of Krishna, they are spiritual master. And therefore there can be no difference. Therefore Guru Tattva is one. Guru is one. Yes. And there may be various personalities embodying this same knowledge, and they may present it in their own individual way, according to their own nature in terms of presentation, but the substance is the same. It is the very same. Still, we see an interesting development in the Sampradaya, because we also see that the different acharyas make their contributions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself wrote Sikshastakam and not much more. He also endorsed the Brahma Samhita when he found that fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita in South India. He danced in great ecstasy. Later on the same journey, he also found a manuscript of the Krishna Karnamrita. And these two manuscripts he brought back from South India. And when he met Ramananda Rai, then he handed them over as great treasures. And Ramananda Rai was very pleased to receive them, and you could see that these are amazing manuscripts, amazing, and immediately all the devotees made copies, and it just spread like anything through the Gaudiya Vaishnava community. So from that day on, or from that time on, I guess it took a little more than a day, but from that time on, the Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita became major scriptures. So that we can understand that these teachings are very much representing the views of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu furthermore used to very much relish the poetry of Jayadev, Vijayapati, and Chandidas. Unfortunately, nowadays, it's very difficult to figure out which is the poetry of Chandidas, because there are so many people who over the years have written poetry under the name of Chandidas, and therefore nobody knows which poem belongs to the real Chandidas and which one belongs to an imitation Chandidas. So it's hard to figure out the poetry of Chandidas today. But the Brahma Samhita still exists in pure form. The Krishna Karnamrita still exists as it existed 500 years ago. The Gita Govinda from Jayadev Goswami is still considered to be in a bona fide form. And Vijayapati's poetry, also to some extent, but to a lesser extent, is free from interpolation, as it is called. So, therefore, we see that there is something representing the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His life, his pastimes, his endorsement of certain scriptures, Sikshastakam, fine. That is that then the six Goswamis, they write all these literatures which are representing the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Charitamrita then is sort of connecting these literatures of the six Goswamis with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita we find that after Sanatana Goswami has been instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he prays, please let these instructions be manifest in my heart. Right? And that Sanatana Goswami is instructed to write a book about Sada Achara, the behavior of saintly persons, which is found in as the Hari Bhakti Vilas. But Hari Bhakti Vilas was written in particular to accommodate the people of that time. So there are certain elements in that the Brahminical community would need to to be included, or else they wouldn't accept the book. Just as when Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan was installing Krishna and Balaram, he invited local brahmanas, local Vrijbasi pandits to come and do the yajna. And for days they were doing different rituals for the installation, a very complex thing, and Prabhupada sometimes sat in the yajna at a particular phase and so on. And Prabhupada commented to the devotees that actually all this is not necessary. The kirtan alone is enough for installation. He said, but all this, we are simply doing it so that the local people will accept. So in the same way, Sanatana Goswami also wrote or mixed in some elements which were not purely transcendental, but karmakanda. Still, the Hari Bhakti Vilas, leaving this karmakanda aside, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the one who commented that certain sections are dealing with karmakanda in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Still, the Hari Bhakti Vilas gives us a lot of intricate detail about how to practice spiritual life. Details about Ekadasi, details about Kartik, details about deity worship, deities about how a Vaishnava is supposed to behave. So it is still a very valuable book to read. So anyway, the six Goswamis then wrote down again the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami comes and writes the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is supposed to be the most authorized biography. And then, well, between the two, there is a difference, right? Because the Goswamis say many things that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't exactly mention in the Sikshastakam or, So the Goswamis, They, in one sense, scholars would say, well, the Goswamis, they elaborated on what Mahaprabhu did, and then they wrote their own literature. And then Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, he again gave it his own twist. That's how they would see it. We, of course, see no. The Siddhanta never changed. It is the same conclusion. But sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu might have given it in the form of the zip files, and then the Goswamis may have expanded, or in the form of sutras, in the form of basic principles, and then the Goswamis established that on the basis of revealed scripture. That was the instruction, according to Srinivasacharya. Nana shastravi chara naitre nipuno sattama samstapako. The Goswami scrutinizingly studied all the Vedic literatures in order to represent the conclusions as they had heard from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, they provided a detailed shastric basis for what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. So, anyway, I'm using this as an example to prove the point that there is on the one hand a continuation in the Sampradaya, and on the other hand there's accumulation. Sometimes the vision is that a parampara is sort of an accumulating succession, that each member of the parampara adds something, and in this way it grows and grows into whatever it is. Yeah. And in one sense, that is true. Every member does add something. Like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gave us all these commentaries. If you look at the 10th canto, then there are all discussions between Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan, and he does it all the time. And, you know, sometimes you're reading, and one might think, at first instance, one might think, as if he was there. One might think, as if he was there. Then one might think, well, maybe he was there, right? Maybe he is there. Maybe these things are not just sort of imaginations, sort of dramatic rendering dramatic renditions of the pastime. Just like an artist may meditate on Caesar and on what transpired and write a whole drama around Caesar and Cleopatra, and it really sounds as if he was there, but of course he wasn't. It's just he's imagined what it would be like and what was there. But when we are seeing Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami's, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries, we're not taking it like that. We're taking them as revelations. We're taking it that he was able to perceive the spiritual world. We're taking it that he was a Parisat devotee, an intimate associate of the Lord. In the Caitanya Charitamrita, a distinction is made between pure devotees and confidential devotees. And it is said the pure devotee, he is 100% dedicated to the Supreme Lord. He is only interested in serving the interest of the Lord, and he never deviates from that. But the confidential devotee, he is all that. But beyond that, he is also aware of his eternal identity in the spiritual world, and he serves the Lord in that way. And therefore his service is called Antaranga Seva. It is Antaranga Bhakti that he is performing. He is serving the Lord internally, and he is counted as a confidential devotee of the Lord. So we're accepting Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur as such a confidential devotee of the Lord, who was able to reveal the transcendental nature of the pastimes of the Lord, because he could see them, he could perceive them. We see so many such kind of references. For example, the Gora Ganadesh Deepika, then they tell you the whole book is about and isn't this person in the past times of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually such and such in Krishna's past times? And how do they know? Who was who in Krishna's past times? How do they know? I mean, we can sit here and we go and Tapas was actually a great yogi in the Himalayas, and that's why he still has his name. Who can see all that? What anybody was, we cannot see. But such transcendental personalities, they can see. So therefore the acharyas, they are not just ordinary scholars who are very learned in the scripture. It is not that they were just very experts. Of course they were. It was very impressive. Very impressive to see all those quotes. Nowadays we have computers and we search, and if we need evidence from different scriptures, well, you know, it's like the computer does most of the work, and then it's still hard work, right? It still takes a lot of time to dig up a lot of evidence on a particular point. So how did the Goswamis do that? Right. They did it actually with the help of many other devotees. Rupa Goswami made a verse book. It is known as the Pajavali. It's a very nice verse book. I like reading it sometimes because it has these kind of nice verses in it. Like, for example, there is one which I'll share with you, and that is like, oh my dear son, you are not sleeping? No, I cannot sleep. I am not tired. Oh, I will tell you a bedtime story. And as Mother Yasoda came to the conclusion of the bedtime story, where it came to the point that the Lord put his nails into the belly of the demon and then just ripped it apart, then Krishna smiled. So that's Krishna's bedtime story. I think that's pretty amazing. quite a bedtime story. Krishna became very peaceful when he heard that story. Most kids wouldn't be able to sleep for the rest of the night. But Krishna rather liked that story a lot before sleeping. So, in this way, Mother Yasoda is described in the Pajavali. So Pajavali is full of very interesting verses, and but it was it is stated, although it is counted as Rupa Goswami's verse book, Rupa Goswami himself states that the verse book was made by many Vaishnavas. This is basically it's the verse book of the whole community of Vaishnavas. They were all existing. So they were bringing Rupa Goswami many verses. That's how it was. Look what verse I found now. You take. Because Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they were clearly the acharyas. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that everyone was talking about these brothers. Everyone. Everyone was just talking about these two transcendental brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, how extraordinary they were. Just as nowadays we talk about, if you say the two transcendental brothers, then immediately the mind goes to Mayapur. Because nowadays in our movement, two transcendental brothers are in Mayapur. And everyone is talking about the two transcendental brothers in Mayapur, the twins. And if you don't know about the twins, then you should know about the twins. Yes, definitely. When you go, you should go to Mayapur and meet the twins and beg for their blessings. So, Rupa Goswami, they were, so to speak, the talk of town. Everyone was speaking about the glories of Rupa and Sanatan. And when devotees would go to Vrindavan and would come back to from Vrindavan, everybody would ask them, what happened? How are Rupa and Sanatan? What are they doing and what is going on there? And everyone was very eager to hear. So therefore, everyone naturally got behind Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Everyone accepted them automatically. And everyone started to assist them. And none of the Vaishnavas were themselves in competition. Well, maybe Rupa Goswami and maybe Sanatan Goswami are very learned, but I am also very learned because I have all these amazing quotes here in my quote book. I will not show anyone what I have. No, they didn't claim proprietorship. They gladly gave that. They did not look for any fame or any glory for themselves. They just could see Rupa and Sanatan, by an arrangement of the Supreme Lord, are meant to be greater and more prominent than we are. Therefore, let us assist them. There was no envy in this regard from, actually, this Rupa and Sanatan, they are, of course, nice devotees, but there are so many nice devotees, and I don't see why they would have to be given any special preference. Such envy was not there. Therefore, the atmosphere was the atmosphere of the spiritual world. That is the atmosphere of the spiritual world, where we accept that if somehow or other someone is prominent in some way or other, then that is the arrangement of Krishna. So everyone takes his natural position and just serves from that position. That is the spiritual platform. Whatever it is. Just as some had the good fortune of meeting Srila Prabhupada personally, many did not. Some had the good fortune of being initiated by Srila Prabhupada. That is a special grace, that is a special mercy, undoubtedly so. It is a special blessing. But then not, those who didn't get that cannot think, oh, why didn't I get that? Because you were not chosen. Yeah? As simple as that. One is chosen for a particular role. Not every Vaishnava has the same role. Every Vaishnava is following the same process. Every Vaishnava is on the spiritual platform equal. Vijabhinaya sampani brahmani gavini hastini sunichaya svapakacha pandita samadarshinaha. Every devotee is to be seen as eternal spirit, soul, and so on. But everyone, somehow or other, has also been given a position. Not only by karma, but also by Krishna. And especially as Vaishnava, by Krishna. Because at that stage, Krishna decides. Krishna decides what our role is meant to be, what our service is meant to be. Of course, we can desire, we can try, but ultimately, at the end of the day, we have to accept. You cannot be what you cannot be. It's as simple as that. It's like, I'm flying with British Midland and not on a carpet. Or not with this Vyasa. I don't have that potency to make carpets fly. So what to do? One has to accept whatever role is given. In the modern world, that is a very difficult thing. We're all rebelling. Because there is so much, people have been suppressed in the world. And now as a reaction, everyone is coming out and saying, am I not good enough? Are you discriminating against me in some way? Equal chances for all. But actually on the spiritual platform, there is acceptance of the role that is assigned. So therefore Lord Brahma is the greatest tapasvi, because he's the first, his facility is so much greater than ours, his duration of life is so much greater than ours. What did you say, Sri? 2 million something years?
2,160,000.
There you go. 2,160,000. You don't have a calculator in your pocket. He doesn't need. So anyway, like that, in 10,000 of, now what was it? Let's see. How many years of that? So, there you go. 1,000 of those years. Anyway, so that is, billion, right? 2 billion something years. And so that is an extraordinary long period of time. So Lord Brahma's austerity exceeds the austerity of all, and therefore he is the greatest of all ascetics. So no one is in competition with him. Everyone is simply getting behind him, accepting, yes, Lord Brahma is greater. In this way, no one is in competition with the acharyas, simply accepting. And we can be in competition with our peers, but one cannot be in competition with superiors. One is simply following in the footsteps of superiors. And that is the mood maybe conveyed. In this verse, simply follow in the footsteps of superiors. Don't artificially try to compete, neither physically, nor mentally, nor intellectually, but simply in all these areas, physically, mentally, intellectually submit to follow. That's difficult. Difficult. Especially in a Western culture where we are not accustomed to that. Any questions or comments?
A question about the tapasya role. I have two questions, actually. One about the main point of your lecture, but the lecture also mentioned about the tapasya here. And Tapas Varuhi wrote an analysis of the different academic material used in the school curriculum here in Sweden. One of Tapas's points was that they like to kind of reduce us to ascetics.
Yeah.
You know, then they have a grasp, you know, this is what it's all about. It's not so complicated, you know.
Mm.
The personality of God.
Yeah. This kind of reductionism happens all the time. You know, I came to a university program and they introduced me like a reincarnationist.
A reincarnationist?
Yeah, so that my basic thing was about, you know, reincarnation. Sorry, you know, reincarnation is only a detail. Sorry, tapas is not even bhakti. It's not even part of bhakti. It's only support for bhakti. It's a crutch at best, you know, a stick to lean on, no more. It's not even transcendental. So it hasn't even started there. It's just, you know, we haven't even planted the seed of bhakti. We're just preparing the beds, you know. For putting in the seeds. That's what your tapas is all about, at best. So it's certainly not all about tapas. But such kind of tendencies to simplify Krishna consciousness happens again and again. And that's also why, like, in India, some people think it's just too complex, you know. I mean, here's the Supreme Lord, and then he expands himself into the form of Lord Balaram, and he is the same but different, it's a Vaibhava Rupa, and then he has other expansions, they are the same but also different. The Prakasa Rupas in Dwarka, they're exactly the same as Krishna, but yet they're not Krishna, because when Krishna is in Dwarka, he is, as Vasudev Krishna, distinctly different from the Krishna in Vrindavan. And then, you know, comes from Balaram, further expansions, Vasudev, Sankarsan, Kajuna, Aniruddha, and these are all deities that are controlling various functions, Aniruddha the mind, Kajuna the intelligence. I mean, it is all like, if you think about it, by the end of the day, you know, and then Sankarsan is the origin of all jiva. He is Jiva in capital letters. He is not Jiva, or living being, but he is Jiva, you know, in capital letters, which means the original source of all Jiva. And if that's not enough, then then we expand further to Narayan, and then slowly Narayan expansions start coming, and they all have chakras, and they're different, in a different hand, and you've got to remember who is who, and so on. And there's no end to it. And these are only the scheduled incarnations, and then there are unscheduled incarnations as well. It's just like, I mean, you never know who is God. I mean, can't we have a simple one, just one, something. So some people prefer a more simple type of approach, and they like to simplify spiritual life. And they say that the truth must be very simple. It must be simple. Well, you know, we can see that the truth is simple. Krishna is the source of everything. He's the one Supreme Lord. And we simply are his eternal servants. That's simple. But at the same time, it's also not simple. Because if you look out of the window, it doesn't look that simple, actually. And if you look at the stars, it doesn't look that simple, and the more scientists start to look at it, the more complex it gets. So they want to make everything so simple, but reality is not simple at all. So I think that they are a little simple when they try to make it so simple. So this movement is for intelligent people, Prabhupada said. And whatever the intelligent man do, common men should follow. That is the system. Yet, yet, Arjun, Shrestha, Tithat, Evadu, Janaha. Okay.
Yeah.
You
use the word interpolation.
Interpolation, yeah.
Interpolation to various scriptures, sometimes they become somewhat interpreted, or they become. Could you give an example? What does that mean in terms of Prabhupada? Has Prabhupada's teachings been interpolated in any way?
Well, interpolation means that people are putting their own things in it. Mm-hmm. It's not interpretation, but interpolation means that we are take the books and we just add something of our own. Like, for example, there was an Oriya Bhagavatam translator named, I think his name was Jagannath Das, and he became very famous for his Bhagavat translation in Oriya. And then he added an extra chapter where he explained that Jagannath was all Sunyavad. It's completely Sunyavad philosophy comes in there. Yeah, because there's a lot of influence of Buddhism in Orissa, in Oriya history. So he just wrote in that chapter, and that Bhagavatam is still the most prominent Bhagavatam translation in Orissa, is most glorified, and it's got this bogus interpolation in there. So Prabhupada's books are not at all like that. Prabhupada's books are pure. Some people, though, are not agreeing with that statement because they say that the BBT in some conspiracy has changed Prabhupada's books. Some are stating like that because the editors have deviously, so they say, changed Prabhupada's books. Of course, the editors have their side of the story, and their side of the story is that Prabhupada gave the original manuscript, which, and requested that it would be put into English by Hayagriva, which Hayagriva did, and in case of the Gita, he did that, but then, unfortunately, due to lack of experience with the philosophy, many mistakes creeped in, like the pea trees, right, were described as trees, and pea trees are, as we know, not trees, but the forefathers, but at that time was not so known. So the editors brought it closer to the original manuscript. In some cases, in Prabhupada's books, there were not even manuscripts. Like Bhagavad Gita is a manuscript, but with the Bhagavatam, in many cases, there was no manuscript. And sometimes Prabhupada even gave a verse in codes. He just gave it in points, and then the editor had to make it into a sentence. That's how much Prabhupada relied on his editors. And the Prabhupada, some didn't even start an archive of all the tapes. Sometimes tapes were used again and again. So what to do? It shows also that Prabhupada didn't have that concern that these editors are changing my books, but worked in a team, had faith in his editors, and produced his books. Now, of course, sometimes the accusations come, the books have been changed. But a person with a sober mind doesn't accept such a thing. But those whose minds are already agitated by the material energy are becoming very much affected when they hear such kinds of things. So such people are more prone to what is going on here? The conspiracy. But the fact of the matter, no. The Bhagavad Gita, as it is still as it is. Still. It's still as it is today. Anybody else?
In order to kind of have also faith in authorities, some service, love, and trust, but at the same time, we may see that other devotees or authorities, they are not perfect, they have their mistakes. How to kind of have this proper relationship anyway?
First, love and trust in Krishna. That behind everyone is ultimately Krishna. So even if people make mistakes, anyway, Krishna. So, love and trust. With people, it may fall short. So we must have love and trust that Krishna has arranged it all. And then we can take it, even if we are sometimes not treated 100% correctly, or if leaders are having their imperfections. Like that. It's just like a marriage, you know. It doesn't always... No, it doesn't always click 100%. But just to accept, you know, Krishna made this arrangement in my life, and here I am, and this is it. This is my share, and I've got to do it with this, and I've got to make the best out of this. And that is how it is in life. Same in all our relationships with the Vaishnavas also, I think. We are together. For better or worse, you know, just like in a marriage, you have these vows, you know, for better or worse, right? And, you know, or hell or high water. So, let it, the Vaishnavas also, we are together for better or worse, and seeing Krishna behind it. And if someone falls short, Krishna will ultimately make the adjustment. Someone gets some time to make adjustments, but if a Vaishnava doesn't make the adjustment himself, ultimately Krishna will. So we don't have to always think the atrocities of the leadership. We have to, on the barricades, we have to overthrow the, you know, Viva la Revolution, it's like it's okay. It's not so much Vaishnava culture, right? Krishna is also there. Of course, sometimes we see that the Brahmanas stood up against King Vena. Right? So when they start to stop sacrifice, when they tell you chanting Hare Krishna is bogus, forbidden from this day on in this temple, then it's time that everyone picks up the TP and puts it in the garbage can. Right? That would be my... That's the stage where... So, just put him in there. Lid on his head. Done. But ordinarily, we need not take it to that extent. Love and trust. First Krishna. Then it will work with the devotees also. Because Krishna is perfect. So therefore, we can fully trust Krishna. He's in control, so everything's ultimately, nothing is really out of control. Yes, I guess you're the last one.
I am not making a question, just a comment about Prabhupada's lecture. He said Vaishnavas are also Kshatriya.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Like Arjuna.
Yeah.
And Yudhisthira Maharaj.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're not always like
Brahmanas. No, some Vaishnavas are Kshatriyas, some Vaishnavas are Vaishyas. You know, they can calculate very easily money and things like this. And some Vaishnavas are Sudras. That may be. But a Vaishnava never fully is designated according to Varna Ashram. Because before Krishna, we're all the same. In the daytime, one may be the carpenter, the other one may be the manager, the other one may be the pujari and the pandit and whatnot. But in the morning, in the temple, When we are chanting before the Lord, we are all the same. And when we are chanting our japa, we are all the same. Then we are all transcendental Vaishnavas. And we cannot designate someone, and now you are a Kshatriya, now you are a Sudra, now you are a Vaishya, so you're inferior. No, on the spiritual platform we're all the same. And it depends just how much someone is surrendered to Krishna. And therefore we see that Vaishnavas can sometimes transcend this nature. A material Kshatriya is totally in the bath, rather, Kshatriya. But one who may have some karma as a Kshatriya can transcend that also in the service of Krishna.